Hi, this is Joe Patty. Thanks for listening to WRTI Online. This service is made possible through the support of WRTI's members. You can become a member, too. Since you're already online, just visit www.wrti.org and click the Become a Member link on the upper left corner of the webpage. You can also join us by phone at 1-866-809-9784. Your membership will help keep WRTI's broadcast and online services strong. And again, thank you. Now, on with the show.
I must say that I always loved her, Edith Piaf, and always loved her songs. She was part of another era, but this film, La Vie en Rose, really brought back a lot of memories and some new information. If it wasn't for the Philadelphia Film Festival, I don't think I would have been aware of it. And we have with us today a guest, Michael Lerman, who is an important person in the whole structure of the Philadelphia Film Festival. Welcome, Mike, to Crossover.
Thank you, man. It's nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the film festival. How long has it been going on?
This is our 16th year, so it's gone through many major changes since it started, but the new incarnation, I think, is 6 years old, if I can remember correctly. Run by the artistic director is Ray Murray from TLA Releasing and yes. TLA Video. So it's kind of a whole conglomerate that way. And it hasn't always been that way since it began, but that's kind of the newest regime.
How does a film festival get started from an amoeba? I mean, you have a kind of an amorphous thing
money.
There,
it's
right? Kind of it takes money.
Yeah,
okay.
Like anything, it takes money.
But this has really become a rather important one now in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think so. And one of the ways we work the best is from going kind of keeping everything very local. Many of the jurors, for example, are local. Like if you go to, I go to a lot of regional festivals to do my job and see what other festivals are doing and what kind of films they're showing and that kind of thing. And, a lot of people bring in, they import people from New York or LA and we try to keep all the jurors, most
from
of the jurors local. Mm. A couple of them are from New York because we're so close, but, it's a very localized for the people kind of thing.
Well, but it's really growing, and I think probably in importance, and that would definitely extend to people who hear about the Philadelphia Film Festival and would like to air their
films. I think so, and I think in the coming years it'll extend out more. And I know people do come down from New York and that kind of thing. We're a huge showcase for other films that have happened at other big festivals. Around the country and around the world in the last year or so. And there's not a whole lot like that in New York. There are more premiere festivals that want to show the newest thing, whereas we show something that aired in... there's a huge festival in Toronto. One of the most important festivals in the world is in Toronto, and we'll show a lot of stuff out of Toronto that doesn't get shown in New York or gets shown rarely in New York, and people can come down, and these are 2 weeks where people can see a whole bunch of stuff that they've been hoping to see for the last year.
Well, Philadelphia used to be the tryout town many, many years ago for plays, and it's kind of coming back, I think, as well.
Well, it's the sixth borough
of New York. So now I want to talk a little bit about this film, La Vie en Rose. This is about Edith Piaf, very, very important. I guess she's a chanteuse. She was a singer through the 40s all the way through, and had a very dramatic life herself. But of course, her singing was just spectacular, and she was very, very popular. Tell us about it being a centerpiece film. Is that the structure of the festival?
That's the structure of the festival. We knew it was going to be a big film. We knew it would be popular.
Why did you know?
When you see it, you know it's an incredibly beautiful film, and it's geared to a wide range of audience. It's amazingly creative. It's not just kind of your standard by the books biopic,
right?
Which it still could be popular based on what we write in the catalog, and we probably still could sell it out. But there's a higher level of quality that I aspire to. Mm-hmm. We aspire to as a festival in terms of picking centerpiece screenings. So the centerpieces, they should be very good, but they should also, they should be something that would be very popular, but they should also be something that's exceptional in terms of filmmaking. And I think this film definitely fits that bill.
Absolutely. Well, you—that's what you do. I mean, you choose films for the festival.
Well, I mean, it opened one of the other largest festivals in the world. It was the opening night in Berlin.
Oh.
So this is.
One would expect that it would be something special.
And it was also the opening night for the Rendezvous with French Cinema program in Lincoln Center.
Okay. So now, is it going to be going into general release?
Yes. There's a company called Picture House that's going to release it sometime this summer. I'm not sure exactly the date, but.
So when you start looking for films for the festival, how early do you start?
I think the first is, a little bit with Cannes in May, but mostly in Toronto and.
So you go to other
in September,
festivals.
Yeah.
And so, choose.
Right.
And what are your limitations, pretty much?
I mean, the great thing I love about Philadelphia is there will be people that watch a lot of varied things. I do another festival, Woodstock, which I love dearly. I love doing it, but, it's more of a limited range of what the audience wants to see. And Philadelphia, there's a huge audience for everything.
How do you determine that?
We try things out. I mean, in 16 years, we've learned what works and what doesn't, but a lot of things work. And especially foreign films, it's great. The amount of audience that comes out and sees subtitled films, it's rare anymore that people will even release subtitled films distributors because they think people won't come see them. But the immense amount of audience we have for subtitled films like La Vie en Rose in the festivals, incredible to me.
It's a rather sophisticated level then of movie going,
right.
I would say. Yeah. So that's
we're always
nice.
Thinking about things that people will like, but it's also, I mean, I'll go see a film and if I love it, I have a lot of confidence that it can find its audience in Philadelphia. Whereas I don't have to restrict it because of the audience.
Yeah. Well, you yourself are a writer and a producer of films?
Yes, yeah. I am producing a film. It's definitely a side project, but I write for a website called IndieWire, which is a somewhat prestigious news site for film in terms of just keeping up on what's going on in the world of independent film and in terms of acquisitions for distribution and things like that.
Well, independent films seem to be kind of taking over. They're taking the lead, I would
say.
Well,
independent is not what it used to be. It's,
no, it certainly isn't. It's very polished. I mean, it's not offbeat, and it's certainly...
Right.
It's actually, when I hear... I prefer to look for independent films because I think the subject matter is provocative. It's also very interesting, and it's a certain intellectual level and that you really don't get in a lot of the films that are slick Hollywood produced things, although
right.
the whole Hollywood picture has changed a great deal as well.
Though it's very bizarre because things kind of go back and forth and what's independent and what's not. When we program, we talk about a thing called mini majors, which is a small version of a major company. So Picture House, for example, who's going to release La Vie en Rose, is owned by New Line.
New Line Cinema, yes.
Mm-hmm. Who, you know, they're a major distributor.
Yes.
They actually had a film we had a centerpiece screening from New Line, too, called The Fracture with Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
So that's the kind of stuff they're doing. And then when they have something that's foreign or maybe to a more art house audience, something that might just play at the Ritz or play at the Roxy or something like that. They'll release it under the Picture House label, but they're all kind of the same company.
Yes.
And everyone's still looking to make money.
You answered my next question because the whole Hollywood structure now is very, very different than it was
or
film in general. I mean, you don't have the big studios doing what they're doing. And I guess the stars are really pretty much the stars, meaning the films are the independents that come out pretty much.
Well, it's funny because we've been talking a lot about, you know, our pretty much the last stop for Philadelphia in terms of programming is Sundance in January, because after that we have to start making sure we have all the films in and putting the book together and writing all the blurbs to convince
people to come.
Yeah, I do that as well. And in Sundance this year, most of the best films were very commercial, but they were still fantastic films. So it's not in the festival, but there was a film called Grace Is Gone, starring John Cusack, which is an independently made. It couldn't have been more than, you know, $2 million feature, but there's no action in it, but it's a fantastic script. It's got great performances, and I think the Weinstein Company bought it, and I think they'll do pretty well with it.
Well, they'll do if they if they pick it up.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of thing we're seeing in independent film. Luckily, it's still quality filmmaking. Something I really like about the independent distributors in America is they're always looking for the bridge between something that's marketable and something that's something that's still of great quality,
as opposed to
something that's just going to make money.
Well, so you're getting ready for the next film festival.
Yeah,
already
we're
now.
Gearing up yeah. already. We're already having meetings about talking about how to improve. We always want to improve.
Well, it's very exciting, and I'm sure it's exciting for you to see the way things are shaking out here in Philadelphia with the festival.
Extremely exciting.
And I appreciate so much your taking time out to speak with us about it. And so when does the festival actually start again next year?
I don't know next year's dates.
But approximately?
It will be around the same time.
The same time. Which
we always have to shift it a little bit because of the tight festival schedule. Like Tribeca is shortly after and things like that. So unfortunately this year we had to fall on Easter, which was many people were not happy about. But we still got unbelievable amounts of people coming out on Easter Day and Easter Sunday to see films. And films I wouldn't expect. We showed Day Night plus two other terrorism films in a row, and we packed the house for Easter. It was very ironic.
the trends are changing, I guess.
But I think that just shows Philadelphia's commitment to cinema, and people just want to be there when it's happening. And that's what I love about this festival. I love that I can find things that I love, or the other associate programmer, Jesse Dubas, can find things that he loves, or Ray Murray can find things that he loves.
Well, it's quite a responsibility, too, and a pleasurable one when you come across something great.
But it's great. It's great to get up in front of a packed house of people who are excited to see a film that you found and put into a festival.
Well, this was certainly one of them, I must say.
It's a huge deal for us, and it's wonderful to share that experience with people. Even if we're not the creators, it's wonderful to share something we found.
Because you're bringing it to the public.
It's like a 2-week show and tell for me.
We're waiting to see the latest production.
We'll see how that comes out.
But thanks so much for coming, Michael Lerman.
Thank you.